Good morning. Yeah. We're continuing our series this morning called, and I'm calling it Utterly Amazed. Utterly Amazed. And it's a series on the miracles of Jesus. We'll just kind of go through several of the miracles of Jesus that will lead us all the way up to Easter, where we'll study and celebrate the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My theme verse, though, is this little obscure just a passage in the book Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1:5 is Habakkuk, the minor prophet, the prophet of God, is crying out to him on behalf of the people of Israel. And God says to him, Habakkuk, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And that's my prayer as we continue into this new year of 2019, that God will begin to do miracles in our lives. My prayer is that he would begin to do this miracle revival in my own life, my own soul, my own spirit, my own prayer life, that he would begin to revive it and do that miracle revival. And my prayer is that he would do that in your lives, in the lives of this, in the life of this church, and continue to do that through this community. That we would look and watch and be utterly amazed as God does something today in our days that we wouldn't believe even if we were told. So right out of the gate, I want to tell you that I believe there are miracles all around us all the time. Right now, you don't have a sensation of motion, but the truth is you are on a planet that is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour, and it will make one full rotation around its axis in the next 24 hours. Not only that, we right now are traveling through space at 67,000 miles per hour. And so maybe you don't have any huge plans for today, but just know this, you will travel 1.5 million miles today in your annual trek around the sun. And so my question is this, when was the last time you thanked God for keeping us in orbit, right? Never. My guess is never, right? We don't do that because we take these miracles that are around us for granted. I know some people who said they have never experienced a miracle, and you know, I always say, well, you know, listen, why don't you just go look in the mirror? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Right now, you're looking at me, right? You're looking at me, and your retina is performing about 10 billion calculations per second. And that's before an image even travels through the optic nerve and into the visual cortex of your brain. And if that's not miraculous, I don't know what is, right? Your heartbeat, your heart will beat about 100,000 times a day. About 5 quarts of blood will travel throughout your about 100,000 miles of veins and arteries and capillaries. And if you could line up all your blood vessels, it would wrap around the equator 4 times. Yeah. So turn to the person next to you and say, you look miraculous. Go ahead, turn to the person next to you and say, you look miraculous. Turn to the other person, your second choice, and say, you look like you could use a miracle. Yeah. As we said last week, we don't need to say that we've never experienced a miracle because really we are one. Albert Einstein said that there are only 2 ways to live your life. One is as if nothing is a miracle, and the other is as if everything is a miracle. And so my prayer for this series is, I've been praying for you, is that there will be a rising tide in us as a spiritual family, that there will be this growing holy appreciation, if you will, for the miracles that are all around us all the time. But even more than that, I'm also praying and believing for a kind of holy anticipation that, as we sang about, that, you know, we have this holy anticipation about what God may do next. What he may do next. And I think that a lot of us, if we're not careful, what happens, as we talked about last week a little bit, what happens is we stop dreaming, we stop praying, we stop believing. You know, as I said last week, we sometimes give up. And what happens is we forfeit the miracles that God wants to do in our lives. And so I want us to get that back, to get that holy anticipation about what God might do next in our lives, in our relationships, in our church. What I'm saying is I am living in an anticipation right now. And I think we need to live with that holy anticipation that God could invade the reality of our lives at any moment and really just change everything. So this morning as we look at the miracles, the miracle we're going to look at this morning is the miracle of Jesus calming the storm. And so have you ever feel like you're in the middle of the storms of life? That all around you, you feel these winds of circumstances and they're kind of blowing, and sometimes they're blowing and they feel like they're completely out of control. I just thought about the storms, the real weather storms that I've experienced in my life. And I thought when I was at University of Florida, I was on the football field and all of us were kind of lined up on the offensive side and we were looking to the defensive side of the field. And there was a defensive back coach was standing back there in the middle behind the defensive backs, and we were looking, and it looked kind of cloudy and everything. It looked like maybe a storm was on the horizon, but we look, and our defensive back coach, his hair was coming up through his hat, through the mesh of his hat, just kind of standing straight up, you know, with this static electricity, and we were going, wow, everybody kind of just stopped, look, and all of a sudden, in that moment, this lightning bolt just, boom, just kind of hit the field or the lights on the field, and I'm telling you, it shook everything, and every 100 of us were on our bellies, you know, the fear of the power of weather, and it didn't take but a nanosecond, and we were up and all running toward the locker rooms. And then I thought about Hurricane Charlie in 2004, just being upstairs in my house and just praying over my boys as I looked out the windows through the dark and just, you know, watched the trees just kind of bend and sway against the power and the force of the Hurricane Charlie. And then, of course, 2017, Hurricane Irma, where Kim and I huddled together in our little row was staying with us at that time. Romaldo, he was sleeping, but Kim and I, we were kind of scared. We were kind of nervous, but we were in the middle of our house and just in our little, right there at the staircase in the middle of our house, just hunkered down, just praying as we heard trees just kind of crashing around us. The fear of the power of weather, storms. Well, today we're going to look at a storm in the life of the disciples, and it's my prayer that we begin to discover what God says to us when life is in the middle of a storm. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4 this morning. Mark chapter 4, and we'll be looking at 35 through 41. I'm waiting for them to get an app on the YouVersion so that when you go to it, it makes the sound of pages turning, you know. That'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And I just want to pause right there. This body of water that they were on was actually the Sea of Galilee, which is about 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains. And because of the terrain and the weather streams, this place is known. It was known for being beautiful one moment, and then boom, the next moment a storm could appear, and apparently, you know, out of nowhere, you wouldn't see it coming, and kind of gives you some content of what's about to happen. It goes on to say, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, talking about Jesus. There was also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I love it. It's the only picture in the Bible of Jesus in a pillow, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to be in a little boat with 12 other men, thinking to yourselves that as the waves crash over you, that this could be the end. I mean, these guys were seasoned you know, boat guys. You know, they've been on the Sea of Galilee many times. They're fishermen. For them to think this could be the end, this could be over, I might not get out of this, right? And that's exactly what the disciples were thinking. And if you're kind of like me, you know, you're saying, you know, hey, Monty, I can just imagine the disciples saying, dude, I'm in this boat with Jesus, the Son of God, right? This shouldn't be happening. He should keep me safe, right? And I know a lot of us, you know, a lot of believers, they will say, you know what, I became a believer, and then life got harder. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, I'm trying to do what God wants me, trying to be obedient to Him, and life gets harder. So we learn through this that just because you are a Christ follower doesn't really mean that you're exempt from the storms of life. So here's the question for today. What storms are you facing? What storms? And most of us, you know, we have different storms that come into our lives from time to time. And some of it can be job-related, and we struggle in our job, or stuff going on at our workplace. And some of you struggling and fighting, you know, financially because of that. Others, you know, maybe you get bad news from a doctor, right? You know how it is. You're cruising along in life, and everything's cool, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden you get something, you go in to get something checked out, and boom, right? All of a sudden life is on hold. You know, what's the doctor going to say? Maybe for some of you it's someone that you love. A family member has gotten bad news from a doctor, and you're like, I just never thought we might do life without that person. Maybe for some of you, your marriage is hurting or struggling and just trying to hang on, or you're fighting for it, you know, the relational stuff of life. Or maybe you've got kids and you've raised them right, and now all of a sudden for some reason things are going crazy, and right, you try to teach them to stay out of trouble, but now they're going down that wrong road, and it just hurts to watch your kids make bad choices. So what storms are you facing? Because we all face them, right? And this morning, as we kind of study this miracle, I pray that God will speak to you in a way that will build your faith in the midst of storms. But at the same time that it does something very, very profoundly spiritual on the inside of you. And so let me just quickly share with you four things to remember as you're going through the storms, the different storms of life. First one would be, remember that you are in the storm by His appointment. And what I mean by that is God knew you were born, when you were born. You know, He knows what's going to happen during the different seasons of your life. Verse 35, it says, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let's go over to the other side. So check this out. I mean, this trip was Jesus' idea. And He, being the Son of God, God in the flesh, certainly He knew that a storm was coming. It was His idea, so you could say that from that we can conclude that the disciples were in the storm, not because they were out of the will of God, but they were in the storm because they were in the will of God, following Jesus' direction. And so you might be in a storm right now, and you're saying, I wish I wasn't here. But listen, God is a sovereign God. He knew where you were going to be, right? He knows where you are. And you might say, well, Monty, where did the storm come from? Let me just give you some possible, you know, storm sources. The first one could be that, you know, there are a lot of storms that come from just bad decisions. I mean, we just make poor decisions. You know, anybody ever experienced that? You made a bad decision, and it brought storms or circumstances in your life. Just a simple decision or a stupid decision, or, you know, and all of a sudden, boom! You know, you're in the midst of some consequences that you got to deal with. Another possibility is you might be experiencing a storm from the enemy, the evil one, Satan, right? The prince of darkness, the one whose mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he might be, you know, have you at a place in the midst of a storm. And then another source could be that you're experiencing storms because we live in a broken world, a world that has been marred by sin. And Jesus is the one who said, in this world, you will, not you might, he said, you will have trouble. Just a simple, broken world where we're going to have trouble. But God says, Jesus says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Are you in a storm? God knew you were going to be in that storm. And you might be someplace that you wish you weren't. And God might be taking you to a place that he really wants you to go. He said, let's go to the other side. Jesus said that fully knowing that there would be a storm. Verse 36, it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I love that word, squall. That's kind of a Mulberry word, squall. When I was growing up, my family always went to Lake Walking Water in Lake Wells for our summer vacation. We did a week over on the lake. We had a little cabin over there, a little place over there that we stayed once a week or so every summer. And when I was about 14, 15 years old, my dad and I would go fishing. We would fly fish there on Lake Walking Water because you can walk in the water there because it's very shallow. And so we would fly fish, and I would drop him off, and then I would take the boat because I was the captain at 14 or 15 years old. And I would take the boat on down with me a little bit further down, and then I would kind of tie the boat, with me and drag it along and fish, getting the fish back to my dad, and he'd be going the other direction. But, and that's how we would fish. So one day we're on the lake, and one afternoon, and all of a sudden, suddenly and severely, this squall came up. And, the water began to kind of crash on me. I'm trying to fly fish. I'm trying to, stay with it. And all of a sudden, I realized, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And so I get in the boat, and I begin to try to make it back across to where my dad was. And I can just remember, the boat coming up and crashing down. I'm, just a little boat, and I was going, oh my goodness, I'm going to die out here. My dad's out here somewhere, and so I'm coming across, and it's just blowing, the wind's just blowing and getting darker and darker, and I finally see my dad sitting on a fence post, a little, just sitting there on a fence post, water just crashing over him, soaking wet, just drenched, holding up his pole, kind of waving at me, over here, come save me, right? And I pull over there and get him in, and of course we made it back to safety. But that's how life can be, right? These storms can come up suddenly and severely. And next time something like that happens to you, hopefully it won't, but chances are it will. You get that phone call, and on the other end you hear some news, and everything changes just like that, right? Just changes in an instant. You get this report, and everything changes. You'll say goodbye to someone who goes on, and you think, I'm going to see them again. And maybe you won't, because things in life and just change. And when that happens, remember that you're in a storm by his appointment. He knows what you're going through. He knew it was going to happen. And God is a good enough God to bring about good in all things. In all things to those who love him, Romans 8 says, right? Love him and are called according to his purpose. You're in the storm by his appointment. And thought number two is you're in the storm with his presence. Never forget that. We sang about that. Never forget that. We are in the storm with his presence. Verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus was in the stern of the boat, and what was he doing? Sleeping. The dude was sleeping. He was sawing logs. He's asleep in the middle of a storm, right? And he wasn't waking up. He wasn't waking up. The disciples were freaking out, and he wasn't. Think about this. You begin to understand. Do you realize God never calls an emergency meeting? Right? Quick! Come on, members of the Trinity, get together. Oh my goodness, Jesus, Holy Spirit, get in here. We didn't see this coming. What are we going to do? I don't know how to handle this. Listen, God never panics. In the middle of the storm, Just think about this. Though unseen, where was Jesus? Underneath the stern, though unseen, he was there. He was there. They're fearing for their lives, and meanwhile, Jesus is in the stern with his divine head on a pillow. Disciples screaming, and Jesus snoring. We will face storms, but always remember, Jesus is in our boat. And just because he is in the boat doesn't mean we won't get wet. Just because we live and follow Jesus doesn't mean we won't get affected by the circumstances of life. We get wet. Maybe even soaked. Soaked, but not sunk. Drenched, not drowned. Wet, but our heads above the water. We know who is in our boat. We're not going down. God is on our side no matter what kind of storm we face, no matter what caused the storm, the wind, the waves. That's not the point. Jesus is the point. Don't ignore reality, right? I mean, stuff happens. Don't ignore reality. I mean, things come into our lives, they hurt, we don't understand them. Seems to be no reason for them sometimes. And so don't ignore reality, but instead pay attention to a greater reality. That Jesus is with you. That Jesus is with us. No matter what we go through in life. Hebrews says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And yes, you are in a storm, and you're there, and he knows it. He is sovereign God. He knew it would happen, but you are there with his presence. And also, you are there for his purposes. Why? Because God is going to do something in you that he couldn't do any other way. I mean, think of the disciples. They're about to face one of their greatest fears. What was that fear the disciples had? I mean, it wasn't necessarily the fear of the storm. It was the fear of death. Yeah, the fear of dying. They were afraid. We don't want to die. I mean, verse 38 says, disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? I mean, we don't want to die. And think about this. Just think about the journey the disciples throughout their entire life. Just think about their journey. In a few moments, they get to see the power of Jesus. Later on, they get to see the character of Jesus. And then later on, they get to experience the death of Jesus. And then they get to see him after the resurrection. They get to see the resurrection of Jesus. And through all of this, God did so much in them that the very guys who were horrified to die, 10 of them were willing to die later. Willing to die for the cause of Christ. Not only would they face their greatest fear, but they would surrender willingly to death, saying, I would never deny the one who gave it all for me. The thing that had the strongest hold on them, they became free of. Because here's what I think. God did more than just a miracle of calming the storm. He did a miracle right there in their hearts. And some of you might say, well, Monty, I'm kind of there. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And you're kind of sending out the SOS. We're in trouble, right? And you're not helping me, God. And maybe there are those of you here in this room who have prayed and prayed and prayed, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, God, ever been there? I mean, I've been here. You begin to think, okay, God, how hard would it be? how hard would it be? You've done some pretty big things, right? And all I'm asking for you is this, and you won't even do this? Where are you? Are you really here? Are you really able? If you're really able, God, why don't you? Why don't you? And if you could, and you don't, then are you good? Do you still love me? Are you silent? I mean, are you just this crutch that I've made up? God, if you could, why don't you? By His appointment, with His presence, and for His purposes. And I said last week, we have to get to that place where we're just going to trust that He's going to work His purposes through whatever we go through in our lives. It could be the reason James wrote this verse, and this verse has always bothered me. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I read somewhere, a person said it this way. He said, in storms, we want God to do a removing job, but sometimes He wants to do an improving job. We want Him to remove the storms, and maybe He wants to improve something in us that He couldn't do any other way. Verse 39 says, "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, 'Why are you so afraid?' He said, 'Do you still have no faith?'" The disciples are like, "Don't you care? I mean, we're falling apart here." And Jesus gets up, and He rebukes the wind, and He says to the waves, what does He say? He says, "Quiet, be still." And there are those of you that God's going to speak to your storm. He's going to heal you, or He's going to heal your marriage. He's going to do something miraculously to provide for you financially. He's going to answer your prayer. And He's going to say to your storm, "Be still." And it's going to be still. Others of you, your storm will continue to rage on. And He will say to your heart, "Be still." And it will. And there will be a peace there. And both will be miracles. And maybe the one where you have peace and everything is, when everything is breaking loose, that might be the more impressive one. To be still and to know that He is God. No matter what happens, to know that He loves you. And just to say, "I'm going to worship you, God. And I'm going to praise you." Peace. Be still, He says. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" By His appointment, with His presence, for His purposes. And the fourth, I think, lesson is to know Him better. It's in the storms, and you can hear people testify to this and give testimony to this. It's in the storms that you begin to truly understand who Jesus is. I think the most amazing part of the story to me is the disciples' reaction to Jesus. Verse 41, they said they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." The Greek literally says there, they feared with great fear. They just thought they were afraid before, right? I mean, they were afraid of the storm, but now they're terrified of Jesus. The fear of the storm was nothing compared with the fear they had when they realized who was really in the boat with them. I mean, it's one thing to be in the boat with someone you believe was sent from God to be a great teacher and a great spiritual leader. It's quite another thing to be confined in a small space with one whom you suddenly realize is the Lord of the universe. I mean, can you imagine that? You begin to realize that He can speak to the universe and it obeys. I can just imagine those disciples, their knees kind of give way and they begin to tremble. They begin to find it difficult to breathe, maybe. Their insides are shaking, right? And throughout the gospel, the disciples, as well as others, keep coming to new understanding of who Jesus is. And it seems to be always in the context of a crisis. And it's interesting to me, as I look at my own self, as I think about us, we can sit here in church week after week after week. We can actually sit in the midst of miracles of God. Listen, what has happened here at the Rock over the years is nothing short of a miracle. What's happening in this generation of young people and millennials is nothing short of a miracle. Just think about this. YouVersion, the Bible app you can get on your phone, right? Hundreds of millions of people are downloading the YouVersion app, where you can have God's Word with you in the moment, in the presence, in the present. Just open it up and begin to read and remember God's Word and His promises to us. It's a miracle. And I've shared this with you before. I go to passion conferences and sit in a stadium, a coliseum with 30,000, 40,000 students and millennials that are sitting there worshiping God. And I look around and I go, wow, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Listen, you can see the miracles and partake in the miracles. And you can know about the miracles of God, but not have yet met the God of the miracles. Jesus is saying, it's not enough that you know all about my works and my acts. You've got to know me. You've got to know me. And I want to know, he says, if you know me. So I think he uses the storms of life to reveal even more of himself to us. They knew the Jesus that healed and did miracles, but they had never met the Jesus whose voice the wind and the waves even obeyed. So I want to encourage us all to get to know him in the midst of our storms. You've known the miracles of God, you've seen him at work in other people's lives, but maybe you've never known him. And it's my prayer that we would not be a church or a people that know about the miracles of God, but that we would be a people that is intimately acquainted with the God of the miracles. It's in those crisis moments, I think, that we really understand who Jesus is. If you place your complete faith and trust in Jesus, you'll have a greater understanding of him, a deeper relationship with him, a new love for him when the storm is over. You'll see the power over darkness and the depth of his love for you. Jesus is telling us to live by faith, not by fear. Well, let me kind of close with this story. There's this preacher, Will Sangster, and he tells this story of his childhood, and it really impacted him, and he said this. He said he and some other guys went on a vacation out of college, and they all ran out of money, and so they all sent a telegram home to their dads saying, "Dad, give us some more money." William's dad was also a preacher and deeply loved his son, but he agonized, should I bail him out again, right? Or should I just let him learn from his mistake? And the father lovingly decided not to help his son, even though he had the power to do so. All the other boys got help from their father, and William's kind of sitting there and didn't get any help from his father, and all the other guys said, "Yeah, you know, well, obviously your dad doesn't love you. He could help you, and he didn't. I mean, your dad doesn't care. Maybe your dad's not really a good father." And William said, "Oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I know the character and the heart of my Father. And I know that He is a good Father and He loves me and He has my best interest in mind, you know, at heart. And so I'll wait. I'll wait till I get home and He will explain His reasons to me face to face. Hopefully not, but likely so. One day, if not now, you're going to face a storm. And one miracle will get you out of it. God might do it, but He might not. And if He doesn't, those voices might say to you, God's not a good God. If He could do it, He would. If He can and He could and doesn't, does He really love you? Maybe He can't. Maybe He's not good. Maybe He's not there at all. It's my prayer that you and I will say, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I know the heart and the character of my Father. And He's a good, good Father. And He has my best interest at heart. I believe in Him, and even if He doesn't do what I think He should or could, I'll wait till I get home, and then my Father will explain it to me by His appointment, with His presence, for His purposes, and to know Him better. To know Him better. Let's pray together. As we are praying this morning and reflecting, maybe there are those of you that would say, you know what, Monty, I'm in the middle of a difficult time and the storm is on. And you might say, Monty, would you pray for me? I'm hurting and I just need prayer today. And if that's you in here today, would you just lift your hands right now and say, Monty, that's me. I need you to pray for me. I'm going through a storm in life. I'm going through some stuff in life, and I need you to pray. I need prayer. Just lift your hand up. Yeah. God, I humbly come to You right now, and I thank You that You are together, that we are here together, God, as family, Father, Your family, as the body of Christ. And God, it's my prayer that we will take care of each other and reach out to one another and, God, just love those around us. And God, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, I pray for miracles today. Because, God, I know that You are a God that is able and willing and God, I just thank You that You're going to do miracles in people's lives here today. And God, when You do, we're going to tell everybody about it. And God, tell them that it was You. We're going to worship You. We're going to give You all the honor. Because we know, God, that You do those for our benefit and for Your glory. And so, God, do miracles this morning. God, I pray for more than just the outward kind where you can see the storm calmed. I pray also for the inward kind. I pray for miracles, God, that go beyond our human ability to understand, that we would be utterly amazed, God, at the way that, God, You bring peace to the outward storms and You will bring peace to the inward storms, a peace that goes beyond all human understanding, one that guards our hearts and our souls and our minds in Christ Jesus. So God, I pray for those. I pray that You would comfort those who mourn. I encourage those who are down. God, I pray for Your strength for those who are weak. God, I pray that you give hope to those who are hopeless and bring healing to those who are broken. Because, God, we don't have anywhere else to turn but to you. And we thank you that you are the only one worthy, the only one that can help us, God. And so, God, we hope we completely and totally surrender to you, trusting you, trusting your appointment, trusting your presence, and believing for your purposes in our lives, so that, God, we may know you better. And may grow in an intimate and personal and forever relationship with you. And so, God, help us to begin there. To make sure that we know you as Lord and Savior. To receive your mercy and grace into our lives and to surrender all to you. And to trust you, God. And ask you to continue to reveal yourselves to us more and more and more. That, God, we would be utterly amazed as we watch you do your work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Do your miracle work in us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.